Now, our series over the holidays is about walking with Jesus, and this is the context in which this story occurs. If you turn to Luke chapter 9 in your little book, it's page 30, or I don't know whether you want to look in the traditional Bibles, but it's here. Jesus has sent out his disciples to spread news about the kingdom. And they have just come back. He sent them out and he told them not to take any money and not to take a stick. And he gave them various instructions that we talked about in the group that I was with. And they'd come back full of wanting to talk about it, wanting to be debriefed. And Jesus was quite happy to spend some time with his disciples, talking about it, hearing the experience, getting the report, just as Angela has done with Soul Journey this morning. But the crowds wanted Jesus. They wanted to hear more. And so Jesus welcomed the crowds. We don't have his exact words, but he welcomed the crowds, perhaps to the annoyance of some of the disciples, but he welcomed them, and he healed those what's the phrase? He healed those who needed healing. Now that's an interesting phrase. Does that mean the sick, the disabled? I don't know. It's a food for further thought. Thought on another occasion. But the crowd, having heard more about the kingdom of God, were getting hungry. And I like The Chosen. I can only take it in small bits because they have to add in a lot of other information because they're filming it. So we learn new things, and some of them are really helpful, and some of them we might find less so. So let's read it from Luke's account. I'm going to read from verse 10 to verse 17. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." No Costco locally, although I think even going to Costco would be quite difficult to feed this huge crowd. "You give them something to eat," he replied. They answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Now, what I'd like to do this morning is to concentrate on the 2 things that Luke says that Jesus actually said. So the actual words of Jesus. He would have said other things. He taught about the kingdom of God, he welcomed people, he healed people. I'm sure that wasn't a silent activity because he needed to hear their hearts and so on. But I want to concentrate on those two instructions. One is feed them, give them something to eat. You give them something to eat, to be precise. And the other one is make them sit down in groups of 50 each. And I want to suggest to you that the words of Jesus ring on. They still speak to us today. They resonate with us. And I'll remind you of the idea of the referee. Jesus started creation with his word. The words of Jesus are that important. And in my Bible, not in this one, but in many Bibles, the actual words of Jesus are printed in red to show that they are particularly important. Important because they resonate. Because they refer to things that in the past, but also they refer to things in the future, and they matter to us now. So let's look at those two utterances. You give them something to eat. Well, that resonates immediately, metaphorically, with what the disciples had just been doing. They'd just been sent out with the message, with the satisfying message of the kingdom of God. Maybe they were thinking of the miracle where Elijah gets the widow, she has some oil left, and they collect in all the jars and fill up all the jars because there's this never-ending, thank you. That's a good word for this morning. Never-ending supply of oil. I also thought about this little bit here in 2 Kings. 2 Kings 4:42. Oh, dear, it's got one of these long words in. A man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread, baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain, and gave it to the people to eat. And Elisha said, "How can I set this before 100 men?" Sorry, that was his servant. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over." Or maybe you remember, as Rachel did, the story of the water into wine. Jesus' first miracle, where he actually changed the substance of the water into wine. Jesus' instructions resonate back and they resonate forward too. You might remember John being told in that beach conversation, "It's a good job you love me." In that beach conversation, to feed his lambs, to feed his sheep. And of course we have the Great Commission too, when Jesus calls us to feed those who are in need. So that expression of Jesus, that utterance of Jesus to feed the people, give them something to eat, really resonates. And I hope that you can see that it resonates even through to us. You know, we ought to be seeing that those who are hungry are fed in this village, in the places where we work, and so on. Now, the other command I thought was interesting was have them sit in groups of 50, or about 50, it says. That makes it much easier to calculate how many people were there. 100 groups, there must be about 5,000 people there, or 5,000 men, anyway. The children dash about so much, you wouldn't be able to count them. But the only scriptural reference that I could find was in 1 Kings 18, verse 4. 1 Kings 18, verse 4 says, Obadiah hid 100 prophets of the Lord in 2 caves to protect them from Jezebel's persecution. He divided them into 2 groups of 50, placing 50 prophets in each cave and providing them with food and water. So I got from that it is also our responsibility to protect those who are in danger. I just thought it was wonderful that the disciples were given something to do. Having been asked to do something impossible, they were then asked to do something that they could do. Something that was, okay, the first step. Well, yeah, that we can just about get them to sit in groups of 50. And that wonderful sense of order, that sense that it's okay, we've got it organised. It is in hand. You know, everybody come to the table. I know you won't be able to wash your hands and they probably didn't have hand sanitizer, but that sense that it was all organised. Don't panic. And that, I think, is something that the Lord wants to say to us. That anything that he's doing, he will provide. He will organise it. You know, we have a part to play. Definitely we have a part to play. But the part that we are expected to play is doable. And we just have to make a start on it. And we are trying so to do. It's our responsibility to keep those in danger calm and provided for. And in following Jesus, we're taking on his values. Did you notice I didn't read it to you actually, but in verse 1, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. So if we are going out in Jesus' name with his values in pursuit of his purposes, then we have power and we have his authority to do whatever he would do, which includes healing the sick, driving out demons, providing for those who are in need, those who are hungry. We carry his message and his words for those who are hungry for it. Now that to me is doable. You know, if at the end of the service today you feel the need of prayer, I feel confident in the name of the Lord to pray for you. Because the healing will come from him, not from me. It is entirely possible to do whatever is needed to be done because of who the Lord is and because we take or we are given authority by him. Does that make the story of the feeding of the 5,000 resonate a bit with you? Can you see what I believe the Lord was trying to explain to me so that I could explain it here? I don't know how long it's going to take them to make their bread, but then I'm going to go and tell them that we are, Jane's just about managed to convey the message. And if we've got a little pause now while we wait for them to finish their bread, let's take that opportunity to say to the Lord, what are you saying to me? What does that mean for me? How can I respond? Am I ready to go and grab a basket? Or maybe all I can do is to pick up some of those leftovers. Whatever it is that the Lord wants you to do, just tell him you're ready to do it in his name and with his power and his authority.